Good morning, everybody. Take your Bibles this morning and turn to Genesis chapter 43. We have one more message. Next week is Mother's Day. And then after that, we'll be finishing the series on Joseph. But I've enjoyed being with you and preaching from the Old Testament. And you know, a lot of times we think it's all law and it's all legal, but boy, there's a lot in the Old Testament. I mean, a lot of great things, the forerunning of Christ. And so Joseph was one that, as we talked about, there's no mention of sin, but we know he was a sinner, but he was a type of Christ in a way, an example for us in all the way that he lived. And so that's what I hope we can do as well. In 43, we can, you know, if there was ever a man that had a right to be bitter, it was Joseph. He's about ready to meet his brothers who sold him into slavery here, and it's 20 years have gone by. 20 years. He was 17 when it all happened. If there was any bitterness, it would surely be seen as he gets to see those that betrayed him and those that sold him into slavery. They didn't know that he was Joseph. He changed. Their brother, they gave Joseph some money for the grain, some grain, and Joseph asked about their family, and they say, "We have a little brother. His name is Benjamin." And he says, "I think you're lying about that." "No, no, no, we have this little brother. His name is Ben, and he's home. And well, if that's true, I want you to go back and get Benjamin." And he kept Simeon in prison to make sure that they would come back. And as they go home, they're camping out one night. And as they feed the cattle, they put their hand in the bag and they find all the money that they had given for the grain. Well, now they're sure that God is after them. You know why? They had a guilty conscience. You know, guilt does something to the soul. Guilt makes you paranoid and gets you to the place where you think everyone is after you. It gets you to the place that you think in your heart everyone knows who you really are. When the pastor preaches, you just know that your wife has called the pastor and told him what to preach on. He knows too much. He says too much. Surely knows about my situation. That's what guilt does. They were guilty. They don't have a clear conscience to Joseph. They don't have a clear conscience to their father, Jacob, either. They lied to him. They don't have a clear conscience. And God's after them. When they finally get home and Dad sees that Simeon is not with them, he thinks the worst. He says, "Simeon is dead, isn't he?" "No, no, no. He's in jail." There's no trust in this family. They've been lied to so many times and manipulated. They don't know who to believe. Jacob is convinced that he has lost one son and now he's going to lose another one. And he says, "No, you're not taking Benjamin back with you. I've already lost one and probably another." And Judah finally says, "Dad, things are not going to get any better here. You know that. We have a famine. We don't have any food and we're dying. We're going to die. We've got to do something. Dad, please let us take Benjamin. And I'll be responsible for him. In fact, you know what? If I don't come back, you can have my children. If Ben doesn't come back, you can have my children." I'd like you to stand with me. We're going to read out of chapter 43, beginning in verse 11, just four verses. And these are four important verses, and I'll show you why a little later. All of them are important. But it says, beginning in 43, chapter and verse 11, "And their father Israel said unto them, 'If it must be so, now do this. Take of the best fruits of the land in your vessels, and carry down the man to the man. Get that? No, pay attention. The man, a present, a little balm and a little honey and spices and myrrh and nuts and almonds, and take double money in your hand, and the money that was brought again in the mouth of your sacks, and carried again in your hand. And peradventure it was an oversight. Take all also your brother, and arise and go again unto the man. The man. Verse 14. And God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your other brother and Benjamin. And if I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your grace. I want you to speak to our hearts this morning, Lord. Show us, Lord, the power of forgiveness in a family, in a church, and in our lives. Lord, I pray that we'll honor you and glorify you in all we do this morning in this message. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. If you look at verse 11, I want to take you through this situation today and that shows us grace for the guilty. These brothers were guilty, and God shows them grace. Do you know that this morning that God wants to give you grace this morning? Do you know that? Can you think of how many times in your life God has given you grace? I'm not here this morning to make you feel better. So you can walk out of here today and say, boy, do I feel much better. I went to church today. I did God a favor. No, that's not what it's about. The question is not, do you feel better for having gone to church? No, the question, does God feel better about you going to church and the attitude that you have? And these guys were guilty. And I want us to see four sequences in this story today. And the first one I want you to see is a guilty family. This was a guilty family. One, brothers, they hadn't confessed their sins to their dad. They hadn't confessed their sins to Joseph. They hadn't confessed to God. They were flat out guilty. Number two, I want you to see a grieving father, Jacob, who's named Israel later on. He says, here's a dad that truly believes that God is against him. And number three, I want you to see a graceful forgiver. A graceful forgiver. You find Joseph. And if he had any bitterness, it would have been shown on this day. Being sold as a slave, hated by his brothers, spending 13 years in Egyptian prison for a crime that he didn't commit. Bitterness to God, to his brothers, it would come out. And number four, I want you to see a glorious future. The last part of this message today. You know, some people in life are just full of bitterness. It seems like every time they open their mouths, there's woundedness and there's sharp and there's jaggedness in their life. And they have a tongue that like a poison snake. And they're just bitter people. You know what I'm talking about. They choose to live life just as miserable as they can and bring as many with them as possible. Hurt people hurt people. They say things that hurt. They do things that hurt others. Because the Bible says there's a root of bitterness down deep in their souls. Life in this fallen world has dealt them some painful memories. And they think God doesn't care about them anymore. So number one, we see a guilty family. The brothers are a lot like that. Jacob is like that himself. They don't have a clear conscience. In Genesis 42, verse 28, it says this. When they found the money back in their sacks, it says their hearts failed them and they were afraid. The word afraid there is the same Hebrew word used in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 10 for Adam and Eve when they were in the garden and they were about to be found out and they were hiding and they were afraid. See, when you're guilty, you want to hide. Guilt doesn't make you feel good. Some people ought to hide and feel guilty. And you should feel bad about your sin. You should feel good about, you shouldn't feel good about your sin. I heard a story about this couple that they went to KFC. You ever go to KFC? You know, lately, I tell you all the things you hear about these fast food places, you don't want to go anywhere. But anyway, they went there for lunch. And they went to the park and they had their sack and they sat down and started to eat. And they opened the sack up and it was full of money. I mean, it was just stacked full of money. This bag, a KFC bag. Wow. Well, they went back to the store. And they gave the bag back to the manager. And he was just so excited. He was in a pickle. And he says, boy, I was working in the back. And he said, I put the money in the sack. And I somehow it got mixed up. And somebody grabbed the sack. And you got it. And he said, oh, I'm so thankful. You're wonderful people. Boy, this is great. Can I call the newspaper and take your picture? And this town needs to know that there's still some honest people here. He said, no, don't do that. The city needs to know about this. Let me do this. Please don't do that. He said, you're just trying to be humble. No. Why? Well, why? Because, the man said, because I'm a married man and this is not my wife. Think about that a moment. They wanted some fire insurance to try to show God they were honest. But they didn't want to give up an adulterous relationship. That won't work. That's not relieving your guilt. Relieving your guilt is when you call sin what God calls sin. And you do with your guilt what God tells you to do with sin. And He put His own Son on the cross because of our sin. He nailed it to the cross. If anyone here this morning is not guilty, it's Joseph. Think about him for a minute. His mother died when he was a small boy. And when he was 17, his brother sold him into slavery and envy and hatred and jealousy. And he spends 13 years in prison for a falsely accused. And he was lied about. An attack on Potiphar's wife was all false. It was not true. And his reputation was ruined. And he was forgotten by the butler. Remember the butler? When he was in prison. And if there ever was a person that had a right to focus on his rights, it was Joseph. Is Joseph bitter? It didn't come out. He didn't show it. He had the brothers really right where he needed them right now. Do you know what bitterness is? Bitterness is buried disappointment. It's so deep that when it's uncovered and exposed, you find an offender on the other end, not forgiven. I don't know if there's someone here today that would admit, Pastor, I've been offended. I have a disappointment that's so deep in my life. And when you uncover it, there's an offender on the other end. I've never said I forgive you. Let me tell you, when you are bitter, it's going to come out. It's going to come out. Number two, the second thing is I want you to see this morning is a grieving father. Jacob was a grieving father, and he's an old man now, and he's lost his son Joseph, and as far as he knows, Simeon is dead. And he's letting his dearest, youngest son, Benjamin, go to Egypt as well. Things are out of control in his life. Are things out of control in your life this morning? In your family? Can you even identify with Joseph at all? I've got that in my marriage, Pastor. My heart, I've got that in my heart. I've got it with my kids. We were just discussing coming over here this morning. One of our kids, we wonder some of the times how they respond to us and why they respond the way they do. You ever done that? Well, life can get out of control. Disappointments are the doors to despair. Doors that will lead you to the hallways of bitterness. Unless you take care of that bitterness with the Lord. Jacob was hurt. He was wounded. And if you really want to see the bitterness of Jacob, you need to look at Genesis chapter 42 and verse 36. If you've got your Bibles, look there. This summarizes what Jacob was feeling. And it says here, "And Jacob, their father, said to them, 'You have bereaved me. Joseph is no more. Simeon is no more. And now you want to take Benjamin.'" Watch this. Then he says this, "All these things are against me." It's all against me. You know, right now in this building, there could be some of you here, and that's the way you felt this week. Nothing was going right. Felt like God was against you this week. Death in the family. You get a bad report from the doctor. You're not doing so well. And the truth is, Pastor, everything's against me. Do you feel that way? Any of you feel that way? I know that some feel that way at times. God is against me. God is not against you. Jesus said, "I came into the world not to condemn the world, but to save it. And he that believeth not on the Son is condemned already." Jacob says, "Listen, Joseph is no more, Simeon is no more, and now you're going to take Benjamin, my baby. All these things are against me." See, you have two options. You can believe in your circumstances, or you can believe in the Word of God. You can walk by what you see, or you can walk by faith. That's the choice that we have this morning. See, the Bible says in Romans 8, 28, you know it well, "And we know." It doesn't say we see. It says we know. Pastor, we know. We know that all things work together for good. He doesn't say all things are good. We know. What do we know? We know that all things work together comprehensively, conclusively for God, to them that love God and are called according to His purposes. That's what we know. See, if you're in a parade, it reminds me of my daughter lives in New York City. She lives on the 11th floor. I can't even look out the window. I'm one of those. But when you're down on the sidewalk and they're having a parade in New York City, you can see the band or whatever's in front of you, the float that's running, but that's all you can see. But if you get up 12 or 13 stories or whatever, you can look down on this same street and you can almost see the whole parade. Do you know that's kind of like how God is? God sees the beginning from the end. All we see is what's happening right now. And God says, "My thoughts are much higher than your thoughts." You can't see all of it yet. You don't see what I'm really doing in your life. All you see is death in your life, and you see disappointment in your life, and you don't see it all, but I see it all. We know we must walk by faith because the just live by faith. Joseph didn't know the outcome of this situation, but he determined to do all things well. He determined in his heart to do well God regardless of whatever happened in his circumstances, prison included. 13 years, still serving God, still wants to serve God. But Jacob, his father, didn't learn that. His father came to the place that he said, "God is against me." You know why we don't believe Romans 8:28? There's two reasons. It's because we don't have all the facts. And right here, Jacob didn't have all the facts. Right here in verses 11 through 14, the scripture we just read this morning, what I want to do, I emphasize the word man. See, Jacob didn't know his own son was the man. The man. Maybe the man will have mercy on us. Well, so take food to the man. Take this gift to the man. That was his own son, and he was talking about him. He didn't have all the facts. In all of our grief, we are convinced that we live in a world that God says, I'm going to get you. That's not God. That's not our God. If you only knew how much God loved you. See, one of our problems this morning is we don't know how much God loves us. You know that? If you only knew the tragic thing God has spared you from. Psalm 139, David writes, that how precious are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more than the number of the sands of the sea. See, God thinks about you more than you think He does. He's not against you. Listen well, church. We don't trust people that we don't know. Is that true? We don't know people that we don't spend time with. So if we don't know them, we don't trust them. You can't come to church once a month and expect your spiritual life to grow. If you don't spend time with God, you don't trust Him. If you don't get in His Word and read His Word, you're not trusting Him. You're not trusting His Word. My wife, I've told you this before, friends, every time a friend gets in trouble, first thing I can hear on the phone, well, have you been in the Word this week? That's her first question. If you don't do that on a frequent basis, you're not going to know Him. And every disappointment coming to you, and every dilemma coming to you is going to be a mystery to you. Some of you never read the Word of God. The greatest men and women of the Bible have been those that have suffered and suffered dearly. There's still persecution going on in the world. Jim was talking about it this morning. Dear pastor, 8 people in his flock are killed for no reason really at all. That's hard to take. But God never says, my children will never hurt. My children will never suffer. My children will always be able to make their payments on their house or their rent. My children will always be treated right. Because see, we don't have all the facts. We don't know the Father like we should. The brothers didn't know the Father. God is for you. If you think God would ever back out on you, you need to remember Mark chapter 7 and verse 37. It says this, and Jesus has done all things well. There's a guilty family. There's a grieving father here. In verse 16 of chapter 43, we get introduced to the graceful forgiver, Joseph. This takes place in Egypt. The brothers have the presents. They have the money. They have Benjamin. If there's any bitterness in Joseph, it's going to come out. Now look at this scene. Joseph sees Benjamin and goes, oh, my soul, there's Benjamin, my little brother. How he has grown up, man, it's been so long. See, Benjamin is the only full brother that Joseph has. All the other brothers are half-brothers. But Benjamin, they had the same mother. And he sees his eyes and he says, my, he's got mama's eyes. Listen, steward. Take them, steward. Take them to my house. And I want you to kill an animal and tell them we're going to eat at noon. And the steward says, you guys are going to eat at noon. And do you think they even heard that? No, they were guilty. You don't hear very well when you're guilty. Guilt always magnifies anxiety. And they have a guilty conscience. Listen, we're going to eat at the prime minister's home. Wow. Can we tell you something? Stuart says, yeah, you can tell me something. He says, the first time we came, you know, we really did come to buy the grain and we really did intend for the money to go and somehow we got the money back and we camped and, oh, it was terrible. We know that Joseph thinks we, or not Joseph, the prime minister thinks that we stole the money, but we didn't. Look at verse 23, chapter 43. The steward says this, peace be to you. Do not be afraid. I think Joseph has been talking to this guy. He says this, your God and the God of your fathers has given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money. We knew all about it. We got your money. See, they feared the worst, but God was planning the best for them. And they got this feeling that God is going to get them. He's going to repay them for all of their evil deeds. And their guilt was showing. And they thought they were going to be slaves, all of them. But the steward says, peace. I had your money. I know about this. So what's the principle here? When you've done wrong and have not asked forgiveness yet, you will always be convinced that someone is going to get you back the same way you got somebody else. See what they did to Joseph, they thought was going to happen to them. God was going to make it right. You know, when I hear a businessman say, I just don't trust anyone. He's a salesman, maybe trying to sell me something. I don't trust anyone. You know what I think about that person? I think they're a cheater. That's why they don't trust anybody. They're convinced that someday it's going to get them, somebody's going to get them just like they've gotten other people. Instead of God preparing the best for them, God is going to prepare the worst. Joseph looks at Benjamin, and all the grief and all the heartache and all the pain comes flooding back in his memory. It's time for Joseph to let them have it. You think that's what he's going to do? Look at verse 29. Then he lifted up his eyes and he saw Benjamin, his brother, his mother's son, and he said, God be gracious to you, my son. In verse 33, he sits them down to eat, and the Bible says, the men looked in astonishment at one another. Why did that happen? Why were they astonished? Because Joseph sets them down in order of their age. All of them. Bom, 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 bom. From the oldest to the youngest. And they're marveling. The boys are looking at, how did he know? How did he do this? They were astonished. Because Joseph was either a psychic or he was supernatural or something was going on. Or he knows them very, very well. He puts them from the oldest to the youngest. Henry Morris said that the chances of that happening is 1 in 40 million. He placed them in the proper order of age. And they couldn't believe that happened. Look at verse 34. Then he took servings to them from before him, but Benjamin's serving was 5 times more than all the rest. Do you know what Joseph was doing? He was watching them. I'm going to load his plate up. And I'm going to see if they're just like they were when they got rid of me. Do they have resentment in their hearts? towards Benjamin too? Was there a spirit of jealousy there? Was it still there in their hearts? See, we're talking about a graceful forgiver. Chapter 44, the first four verses, here's the scene. They've eaten a meal. They've got the grain. Their conscience is clear. Joseph has revealed no bitterness yet. 44 verse 2, he tells them to put his silver cup into Benjamin's bag. Okay, we'll do that. Then let them get outside the city and go overtake them and take your men with you. And then ask them this, why have you repaid evil for good? Then find the bag and bring those guys back here. Yes, sir, we'll get it. We'll get it done. And the brothers are talking, and oh man, they're so happy heading out of town, out into Egypt. Simeon is with them. Benjamin is with them. Oh man, is Jacob going to be so excited? They got by with their sin. It didn't happen like they thought it was. They thought they'd be in chains. All of a sudden, they're overtaken by these Egyptians. And they say, why? Why have you guys repaid evil for good? Why did you do this? One of you here is a thief because someone here stole the Lord's silver cup. No, no, not us. We haven't taken it. Look at verse 9. One of the brothers says, with whomever of your servants it is found, let him die, and we also will be your Lord's slaves. You know what the guy says? He says, you said it right. We'll do it according to your plan. That's what we're going to do. And they check bag after bag, and Reuben's bag has nothing, and Simeon's bag has nothing. With every bag, they're kind of getting a smile on their face. They're growing in confidence. You know, we didn't do this. See, we told you. And then they get the Benjamin's bag. And Lord and behold, pops out a silver cup, the top of his bag. Oh, no, Ben, why did you do that? Ben, you're... Oh, I can't believe it. All of them are just having a fit. And Judy speaks and he says, we don't have time, but in verses 16 to 34, I want to challenge you this today. When you get home today, read these verses. We don't have time this morning, but verses 16, it's one of the most beautiful passages in the Bible. And Judah makes a discovery that everyone here today will have to make at some point in your life. And that's a confession that we never get by with our sin. Look at verse 16. Then Judah said, what shall we say to my Lord? What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? And God has found out that the iniquity of your servants, and here we are, and my Lord's slaves, and both we and he also with whom the cup was found. That's a confession that God knows everything. He sees what Judah knew is what God knows. And Psalm 139 says, where can you go from my presence? Where can you go? If you descend down to hell, I am there. If you ascend to the highest star in heaven, I'll be there. If you take the wings of the morning and go to the depths of the sea, I will be there. You know, you can't run from God. Jonah thought he could run from God. Remember old Jonah? He just thought God was a landlord, but he was the sea lord too. So they got back to Joseph in front of him. If there's any bitterness in Joseph, it's going to come out now. After Judah confesses, he says in verse 20, we have a father, an old man, and a child, and of his old age, and this youngest, his brother, is dead. He was daddy's favorite. Sir, listen, sir. If we don't take Benjamin home, you're going to kill my gray-haired father. He can't take anymore. He's lost other sons. Just let Benjamin go, please. See, the remedy for bitterness is when you know that nobody has treated you worse then your heart is capable of treating others. The sin is finally confessed. And in chapter 45, Joseph just can't stand it anymore. And Joseph, you have had them right where you want them. Let that bitterness come out. Look at chapter 45. Look at the first verse. Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by him. And he cried out, "Make everyone go out from me." What's wrong with Joseph? He's crying. He's looking at this situation and he's sobbing. He doesn't want anybody to see. And in verse 3, he goes to his brothers. He says, "I am Joseph." Oh boy. "I'm Joseph. Does my father still live?" They had lied so much. He wants the truth. It says they couldn't answer him, and they were so dismayed in his presence, and they were fearful in his presence. And they're getting closer to being clean. But they're not clean yet, because they have to confess to their daddy. They have an opportunity to be forgiven by his grace, by this graceful forgiver, and the one they sinned against almost to death. Verse 4, this was an intimate conversation. And in the Hebrew, it's intimate. In chapter 45, verse 4, he didn't just say, "Come here." He said, "Come here and let me hold you." Did just the opposite. Joseph did just the opposite of what they thought. He says, "Come here. I want to hold you. I want to embrace you." And he wept. There's not one ounce of bitterness in Joseph. Joseph's heart is clean. He didn't say, "Man, I've been waiting for this moment. All that you did for me, 20 years has taken my life. I can't believe you guys sold your own brother. I told you that you would be bowing down one day. Now get out of here. Death is your issue." No, he didn't do that. "You didn't say you're going to become my slave." He didn't do that. Let me help you with your bitterness today. This might help you more than you know. Verses 5 through 9. Verse 5 says this. He says, "Now do not be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me." Look, they knew what they had done. Joseph knew what they'd done, but he looks at them and he says, "Look, you didn't do this. God sent me." Verse 8, "It was not you who sent me here, but God." Look at verse 9. "Hurry and go to your father and say, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me to be a father to Pharaoh. God has made me to be a father to the Pharaoh.'" He looks at me like his son now. You say, "No, Pastor, God didn't do that. They did it. They sold him." No, you're wrong. You aren't getting it. Regardless of what has happened to you, God has either allowed it or God has done it. The abuse, the neglect, the mistreatment of your soul, all has been under the watchful care of the Almighty God. Joseph said, "Don't blame yourself. God did this. God had a plan. He gave me dreams. He had a plan. God always has a plan for his children. 13 years in prison. And he wasn't bitter." Jesus says to you this morning, your answer toward your mother, "It's not your mother, it's me." Your anger toward your dad as a little child, "It's me." Your anger toward your spouse, "It's been me. I've seen it all. I've watched it all happen. I am Jesus." He called them to a glorious future that they never had before. This morning, Jesus is calling you to a glorious future with no bitterness. As we close, I want to just give you four sentences here. We're done. Number one, I need you to recognize, despite life's hardships, all things are not against you. Despite all the hardships you've been through, all things are not against you. Number two, rely on this truth. God has either caused it or allowed it. It's been in His control. Otherwise, He's not sovereign. Number three, repent of your demands. To understand, to be explained to, and to be catered to. Repent of that. Lord, I want to understand. But see, I believe Mark chapter 7, verse 37, what does it say? You do all things well. Lord, you do all things well. Can you say that today? Can you trust God enough for that? Number four, I rejoice in this. One day you will meet Jesus Christ face to face. Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, it says, God will wipe away all tears from your eyes. And there'll be no more death, nor sorrow, nor tears. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things will pass away.